before we start, could everybody please just turn their cell phones off or to vibrate or however we could do that? All right. First thing we have is to approve the minutes of the July 17th board meeting. I believe everybody has had an opportunity to review them. Any comments, concerns?
Yes, on the next down towards the bottom, where it says Councilman Tunison wants to have something put on the crosswalk by the post office and not wait until someone is hurt or killed. Well, you know, and it goes on to say that Councilman Suttmeyer does not want anything there. Well, it's not only Councilman Suttmeyer. I've had concerns. I know the school bus drivers don't like it. People coming out of the post office driveway don't like it, and my neighbors don't like it.
I saw they had a number of people.
Well, then it goes on to say, Councilman Tunison will look into the getting a sidewalk indicator. Mm-hmm. Councilman Suttmeyer said to Councilman Suttmeyer does not want anything done there to work or work with council person to resolve the problem. Well, I object to that. I certainly am willing to work with the board to solve the problem. I've been trying to get the lines painted since before Memorial Day. I think that once the lines are, the crosswalk is visible again, and the police can do a little enforcement, and the signs the county put up should be adequate to solve the problem. Apparently, the sign that was down past the school, people didn't like it in the middle of the road. I see that's on the side of the road. But I object to the comment that I do not want to work with the board to solve the problem. And I request that be deleted from the minutes. And I don't think that the town clerk should put commentary into the minutes.
Oh, I'm just putting what's being said at the meetings.
Did I work with anyone?
It was a statement that was made that night.
I'd like to hear it.
For you.
Okay. I'd like to hear it.
That can be done?
Sure.
All right. Any other questions or comments regarding the minutes of June 17th, other than what was just mentioned by Mr. Suttmeyer? No? Okay. Can I have a motion to accept those minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept.
Second, that's correct.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. They'll be approved with that correction. Also, we have the minutes from the June 17th public hearing regarding the Mid-Hudson Cable contract. Those of you that weren't in attendance, Mid-Hudson Cable did come and make a presentation to the community regarding the franchise fees that the town does receive from Mid-Hudson Cable Vision, and they did go through some other, explaining some things that were brought up during the public comment period. So we have those minutes in front of us now also. Can I have a motion to accept those minutes?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Okay, moving on to our reports from the departments. Ray?
For the month of July, total calls for the month were 97. Out of those, the advanced life support calls using Green County EMS was 15. Run at the intermediate level was 8, and run at the basic life support level was 15. RMAs, which were refusing medical attention or transportation, was about 27. For a total amount of 38,210. I believe you should have that information there in front of you, John. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A couple of miscellaneous items. Unfortunately, whether the post office or Department of Motor Vehicles screwed up, we don't really know, but we do not have the new registration for the new ambulance. We're still running off temporary. We sent it in, I think, about 2 months ago. And they say that they never received it or that they did not have any action on it. So we're in the process of trying to get that straightened out.
Did you contact to see if we can get another temporary?
I did not. I thought you were going to do that.
Okay.
I'm sure we probably can. It's just a matter of getting it done.
Yep.
Two new hires, new EMTs that I hired, Robert Haller, Walter Schelling, both of them. One of them is a very experienced EMT, probably got 15, 18 years of experience. Wally's a little bit newer. He's got about 6 years of experience, but both of them working out real well. just per diem, basically to fill in. This time of year, of course, when people are on vacations and things like that, trying to fill a schedule becomes a challenge, so we're bringing in a couple of new people to help. We have lost a couple of people, mostly to attrition, but at this point right now, that'll help kind of boost our ability to be able to have a full schedule. Some of you have been reading the papers, noticed that over the course of the last couple of months, there has been an ongoing issue with receiving payment from the town of Greenville for various services. If you read Winnie's article in the paper not too long ago, she did a very good job of explaining some of the problems that we're having in EMS right now. The most basic problem, of course, is just simply lack of manpower. You've got two different divisions of EMS in the county. One of them, municipal, such as we are here in the town of Caro, where basically we are under the auspices of the Caro Town Board. And then you've got volunteer agencies. The problem is not so much with the municipals as it is with the volunteer agencies. Greenville is a volunteer agency. As a result of that, they are dependent on people who are willing to give their time and of their abilities to be able to make that rescue squad work. We understand that. We applaud that effort. The problem is what happens when that volunteer agency is no longer able to fulfill their responsibility to their town. At this point right now, that's the beginning of what is happening. Many times during the daytime, they don't have anybody available, and as a result of that, the majority of times, Caro has to go in and backfill her to cover that call. All right, we don't mind and have not mind doing that for about the last 2 years. Unfortunately, what has happened is the people that we run calls in the town of Greenville that maybe do not have insurance, we don't get paid for. And as a result of that, typically we have billed the town of Greenville, their rescue squad, for those calls. Over the course of the last couple of years, they have not responded by paying those calls. At this point right now, we're to the tune of almost $16,000 that they owe us for not paying those calls. Well, this, as if you've been paying attention, has been going on now for almost 2 years. All right. At some point, we realize we need this money. Okay. Obviously, $16,000 is a lot of money for equipment, for our own expenses, and things like that. We don't and can't expect the town of Caro taxpayers to have to, you know, subsidize one of the local agencies. And as a result of that, my suggestion has been to the town board and to John that we basically cancel our mutual aid contract with them, all right, beginning about 45 days from now. By law, we have to give them 30 days. We're going to give them a little bit extra time. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Isn't that going to provide hardship for them? Perhaps to some extent it will. They also have other mutual aid companies. We're not the only one. We have pretty much become the primary because of the fact that, number one, we're close, and number two, we've got a crew on 24/7. So we have probably taken the brunt of the burden. However, at some point, we feel that we need to bring this whole problem to a resolution. And at this point, my suggestion has been that we send them a letter basically stating that we are no longer going to provide mutual aid until this problem has been resolved. All right? And we feel at this point it's in the best interest of, obviously, the town of Caro taxpayers. So what we're going to do is send them a letter basically stating that 45 days we will no longer provide mutual aid to them unless this situation is resolved. We're giving them that time. This has been an ongoing thing. We originally told them back last October we were going to cancel it the 1st of April. All right. So we've given them from the 1st of April until the middle of July to correct the problem. All right. They have not done that. By their choice, they have not done that. And as a result of that, we feel that we need to force the issue. So that's what we're doing. We're basically writing them a letter stating that 45 days, we will no longer provide mutual aid. That gives them 45 days to bring it up to date, pay the bill, at which point we will sit down with them at the table and we will draw a contract. And we will say, from this point forward, all right, we are going to abide by this contract that you will pay us X amount of dollars, and you know, we'll work out the details with that. But you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, isn't that kind of cruel if they don't have the ability to do it? Well, not really. They've got other towns. They've got the town of Durham, town of Westerlo, both of which are volunteer agencies. The problem is both of those towns are running into the same problem. To try to get volunteers to do this job is becoming increasingly difficult. If you read Winnie's article again, she goes through the amount of time and the training and all of that these people have to be involved in to come home at the end of a very, very long day and then have to be on call, you know, potentially to run a 3 or 4 hour call is not the easiest thing in the world. So, I mean, I still run as a volunteer myself in the town of Durham. I mean, I know what it's like to have to get up, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning and take a call to Albany Med, knowing that you're not going to get back to sleep that night. You're going to have to get up and go to work the next morning. So, I mean, I can understand that. At the same time, all the other towns around us who are volunteer do pay us when we go into their town. They you know, pretty much give us the money that we request of them, which is usually the amount of the bill. If we collect insurance money from the patient, they don't get billed. Okay, these are only the people basically who do not pay us, and you know, by their contract to their insurance company, they either owe us the copay or you know, the money for the bill. So I mean, as much as we would love to do this job for nothing, we all know that the price of healthcare and medical transportation and insurance is certainly not going down, and that, you know, that's not fair that the town of Carroll taxpayers need to foot that burden for another town. So my recommendation to the board at this point right now is that 45 days from now we go ahead and write a letter stating that we are going to plan on canceling our mutual aid contract, which by law we can do, all right? And hopefully that will bring them to the table and say, okay, we realize we need you guys. We're willing to pay the money and bring this thing back to a zero balance, at which point we'll sit down and, you know, contract with them for, you know, whatever future needs. And then we can take that same contract to each of the other surrounding towns so that basically we level the playing field. And that's my suggestion.
Anybody have any comments regarding that? I know it's we've been talking about it now, and we've been, excuse me, more than patient with them. But I think, and I'm just one vote here, but I think it's time that we, you know, we got to get a little forceful with them. We need to let them know that after 45 days, Carroll is not going to be there to help them.
I just want to ask, has there been any door opening on their part where they could say, well, we can't pay you all at much, but we'll pay you this much a month, or has it just been nothing?
No. The only thing that they've done is four times now, they have asked for the same information. We want information on the calls that we owe you money for. Literally, we have done that four times. We provided for them in a timely fashion. All right. I mean, at this point right now, we've complied with everything that they've asked us to do. We've had meetings, numerous meetings with them, and they have not shown any responsiveness at all. I mean, at this point right now, if they came to us and said with an offer of, you know, we'll pay you half now, half 2-3 months, 4 months from now, I mean, they just bought an ambulance for $175,000. Okay, so I don't really, we can't afford to do that. You know, the town of Carroll can't afford an ambulance like that. So I don't think money is the issue. I think the problem is just an unwillingness to, you know, to deal with that issue.
Well, I think in fairness to the Carroll taxpayers, years ago, you know, Ray, we bit the bullet, the taxpayers of Carroll, and we have a 24/7 service, and
yeah, and it's an expensive service. This service costs the town. I mean, not subtracting out the insurance monies. This is a $425,000 operation. It's not cheap. And, you know, as a volunteer agency, they don't have a payroll, which is $300,000-something out of that $427,000. So, I mean, it's not right that our taxpayer monies to pay payroll is being used.
Subsidized because
at this point right now, when our ambulance, kind of Carroll Ambulance, is in that other town, okay, and many times that leaves us without an ambulance, which means we have to pay another agency to come in to cover our calls. Unless, you know, sometimes we do get a second crew, but that's becoming more and more rare because most of the guys that work here in Carroll also work in other agencies because manpower is so short. As Wendy said in her article, EMS in crisis, I believe we're there. I mean, so we don't have an overwhelming... Joking. I didn't handle that.
No, fine. Really?
But I mean, I think the time has come that we need to simply say, you know, it's time. And we don't want to be a bad neighbor. We don't, you know, and we certainly don't want to see anybody die or get hurt. I mean, if we're pushed, and there's nobody else that's going to be out there, by all means, we're going to cover the call. Okay, I mean, we're not looking to see anybody get hurt. But we're unfortunately, at this point, it's happening on a routine basis, and that's we just can't afford. And we don't mind doing it, but pay us for our services.
When we get down to the resolutions, we'll bring that up and get see how that goes. All right, thank you. Okay, Janice.
Hello. I had 12 sales for the month of June, so things are still a little slow in the retail market. I also included in my report a brochure regarding the conference for the New York State Assessors Association, and that is, if I go, if you approve it, I get 12 continuing education credits. 24 is required per year by the New York State. New York State at the current time does reimburse a set amount for the room, for the meals, and for the travel expense, less 2%. And last year, I just wanted you to be aware of the fact that it cost the town $240 out of pocket to send me to the conference. The rest was reimbursed by New York State.
Okay. And we have that information here on the agenda for the resolutions.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Stacy or Rich?
For the previous month, the department issued 12 building permits, performed 27 inspections, issued one CO, five CSEs, and are investigating 15 complaints.
Stacy?
Yeah.
Out of the 15 complaints, how many are new this month?
New? I couldn't tell you offhand. If you want a detailed, I can do a report for you.
And how long is the longest one? How long have you been investigating it?
I'd have to look at the paperwork. I don't have the details with me.
Next month, could you report? Thank you.
Stacy, just one other thing. Main Street, next acre building.
Yes.
He had it piled up, then he cleaned it up, and then.
Chris went out there.
Okay, but just, if we could.
I spoke with him yesterday, and he moved all but three items. So
I saw that there's two tractors there and something else, but
cement. Until Monday, we'll get at it. All right, thank you.
Okay, Steve, highway to, excuse me.
Yes. Last month we talked about the guy doing the striping.
Yes. We have. Chris has contacted a gentleman from Dubuque Junction, and he has given us proposals to do the work. So now we're going to have to see who is the cheaper of the two.
Does that include the two crosswalks?
That includes all the crosswalks, including the county list. I did talk with Deputy Superintendent Lynn Valkenberg yesterday. When I stopped down to get a number from the sign crew, they informed me that they were looking at the strips for the crosswalks and the stop marks, and that the county was looking to do Main Street by the post office and the light. So I spoke with Superintendent Valkenberg, and he made mention that since the county that's a county road, they may be looking into doing the crosswalks and the stop sticks work.
Because I spoke to Bill Lawrence on Monday.
But it wasn't positive. They had to talk with Gary Harvey first.
Yeah. And I asked Bill because I know it was a concern that we had the crosswalks done because it is a county road. And he said he would call Gary Harvey. And obviously he spoke to Bob and Valkenberg.
Okay. And that does include the two up on 1 o'clock?
The one does. I was going to talk to the supervisor. I did stop down when I was at the sign crew. I looked at their portable thing with those brake cans. For those two up there, I think it would be more than sufficient to do it. It's very easy to use, and they do. And they did a line right in the garage for me, and it came out very nice. So for those ones up there, I don't think we should pay the extra cost. We can go to Home Depot and buy, six cans of paint, and it does the job the same as the other.
That might be something.
$40 or $50
They
said we can borrow the
marker
machine.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Most of the items for the auction have been picked up. There was a few. I gave you on my report there, it says the ones that weren't picked up, I would like to put them back out either on the auction or in the paper, along with the stuff that we have up in the Acre Community Center that we want to get rid of, if we go in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back on the auction, then, that's up to you.
Okay. Well, while we're here, why don't we talk about it? We had those things on the auction. They didn't go. And then we talked about possibly doing what some other municipalities do, is put them out there and say we're going to take bids. And receive them at town hall for a certain amount of days.
Yeah, with a minimum.
With a minimum bid, and then we open them up at a certain time. Is that something that we want to do? Because if that's the way we choose to do it, there are other things in town, I think, that we can also add on there. There's a lot of old office supplies up in St. Edmunds that are sitting there, desks and things like that, but offer them to department heads first before they go to auction.
And the library has some.
And the library, yep. So.
Do we have an actual auction?
But we could, but for these few things, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how many things we have all together. I don't know what.
The equipment, 145, where the highway barn is, is an excellent place to put the equipment out.
Right.
And, yeah. No, I don't think we want to put desks out there.
No.
The highway equipment.
No. But we could.
You know, there's four pieces he's got here.
I guess when we make the, if we do it in the paper or the auction, I guess we could put a time when they could go look at the stuff up at the Acre Care Center.
Right. Make it available for them to go look at it. But to answer your question, yeah, I think it would, I don't know. If,
we don't have enough?
I don't think we have enough. So few, I don't think an auctioneer would come in and. Their percentage wouldn't hurt to ask, but I don't know what their percentage is, but I don't think it would be.
I just wasn't sure, like in St. Edmunds, of how much stuff we had, and it might be kind of a fun thing to do.
But. Yeah, there's like five or six desks, maybe eight or ten old filing cabinets.
Not a lot,
no. So, is that something that we want to do? Put them out in front of the highway department?
Yeah, I think the equipment.
And
put a minimum.
Minimum bid on it?
Okay.
Okay.
At the prices that we have here? You can see that the auction did a little better, but the people didn't pay for them, so
right.
They realized. You know. I mean, the auction, you're getting people from all over the United States looking at it.
Right.
You know,
right. And are they going to come to Carol for a $300
right.
Ford Ranger
right.
Right. Yeah. From Chicago or something? Yeah. do we want to use those as the minimum bids?
I don't know. Ron, pulling a Fiat?
Well,
cheap for that, isn't it?
Yes, but I would rather
yeah, I
not.
Know, I talked
okay.
to you about it, but.
Okay. Well, I can put whatever you want. I'll put whatever you want.
Right, Ron? Come up with?
This is that he suggested, yes. I think for the Fiat, we had, for the actual auction, we had like 5,000, I think.
Five or six. I don't have a problem with those.
No, I don't have no with that.
Do you, Jen, have a problem with those minimum bid? No. Okay. All right. Why don't we do that, Steve?
Okay.
All right.
So you'll make a resolution to. Okay. We've been out mowing ditches, mowing the grass on the side of the road. The sweeper's been out. As you all know, we had a hard winter, and there's a lot of dirt and stone still out there. We're still sweeping. Our trucks, we've been hauling number one and two stone to motor pave half of McLaren. That's the Trooper Barracks Road, the back half. We will be top coating with oil and stone the roads that we motor paved this year, which was Craig Road, Bald Hill, piece of Indian Ridge, and McLaren, of course. We've been out patching potholes. There's still a lot of them around. It's going to take us all summer to get all the roads done. It's a very slow process. What I'm going to start doing is we're going to start jumping around. It's not just to try and, you know, if people see you on the road, at least they know you're here, you know, we're working. But when we're on one road for 4 or 5 days trying to get all the potholes, I mean, you know, that's only one road, you know. So we will start jumping around a little bit, catching bigger holes. We may not get every pothole on your road, but and then we'll have to come back. You know, so we will try that for a little while. Let's see, potholes. The Paystar was delivered. It's in the highway garage right now. Let's see. Oh, I guess you'll bring up. last but not least, I'd like permission to put out for bid for a shoulder machine. I did get some tentative prices, but you know, I figured maybe I'll do a little better if we put it out to bid and open it at the workshop. A shoulder machine is if you've been up on the county road going up to South Carroll. The county has a shoulder machine, which we really can't use because our stone bars don't attach to it the way they should. And it puts a shoulder, a two-foot shoulder on the side of the road. We have many roads that, Ira Vale, for instance, Blackhead. You know, we've got a lot of roads that we've done over the years that we don't have shoulders on. You know,
like the drop stones?
Yeah, it attaches to the back of the truck, and you send a crew out with it, and there's a piece of equipment that drops on the side, and it goes up the road, and it fills in the shoulder on the side of the road, and makes it even with the road, and gives us a shoulder.
What is that usually run, Steve? Ballpark.
Well, do you want me to say?
No, never mind.
Oh. I could just get three quotes, but I would rather put it out to bid. You know, it's a little bit more than.
Have you looked into renting one? I mean, we only do how many miles we pay?
Well, it's not just the problem is it's not just the roads that we pave like this year. It's all the roads we've paved over the years that we don't have shoulders on. That's, you know.
Well, that's why
I have not looked into renting.
No, if we pay for 3 miles.
Would it be worth having it?
I don't know.
To rent it for three months compared to buying it, and yes, then we have it forever. Yes.
I can definitely check into the renting of it. The problem that I see with that is, you know, once you have it, obviously, it wouldn't be the middle of summer when we're doing blacktop. But in the spring and the fall, I can send the guys out and we can start doing the edges of the roads, you know, at times when it's a little cooler, before it snows, in the spring, stuff like that, you know.
Does another town have a shoulder machine?
Nobody has, believe it or not, there's Harpersville is the closest one that has one of the particular ones that I've been looking at.
Yeah.
You know. Like I said, the county has that one that they have, but we have stone bars on the back of our trucks that attach to all Peckham's equipment because we use Peckham to do all our paving and stuff, mm-hmm. and the stone bars are in the way of that piece of equipment. So, yeah.
Is this something you could do with this shared services grant?
I could. I say I could. You know, if you want me to look into that, I probably could. Do we have shared services grants available?
I mean, if none of the surrounding towns have it either, we may be able to pull in one or two or three other towns
where
we can share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. I'll look into that, and I'll get back to you at the workshop. You know, I mean, we still have time. I don't need it at the second, but the way things are going, I figured, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll look into the shared. I'll also look into the rent, and I'll get back to you.
All right.
Okay. I think that's it.
And number 11, Kathy.
Well, Kathy will bring that up. Number 10, I'm not going to.
Yep.
Okay. Would it be possible to have two patch crew? We got one patch crew?
We have one, yeah.
Would it be possible to get.
No? Well, the problem is you
roller?
We have 11 men. Well, we have 10 men technically. Two are in the shop. I can pull one out every once in a while. And then I have the man on the mower. And sometimes the sweeper. Okay, so there were four down right there. Usually what I do is years ago we used to send the truck out with a driver and two men and hope nobody gets, you know, killed. Nowadays that kind of process is not, you know. So technically we have two flagmen, we have the dump truck operator, we have two shovelers, we have a raker, and then we have, who did I miss, the roller man. So our crew is only just so big, you know. I wish we could send two crews out because I wouldn't have anybody calling me. You know, if only we could do that. You know, that would be great. You know, one of the things, and I don't want to take up time, but one of the things that I the beginning of the year or last year at the auction was a machine that the cities use that they dump 3 ton of blacktop in it, and it keeps it warm. For 4 hours. Now that would be a great help. If I find another one, that one went for $1,500, and I think at the time we said no. You know, then I could go out and when people call and say there's one pothole on one road, you know, I could go out and do 20 roads, you know, and catch the bad potholes, and I think I could keep the pothole calls down. You know, for instance, today we had driver training today. All the men attended. So hopefully, you know, that was a good thing. During that time, there was 45-minute blocks, and I had 5 phone calls every 45 minutes. Three of them were about potholes on particular roads. So, I mean, it's definitely a problem we have. You know. We have 183 lane miles of road. That's a lot of road miles, 183 miles of road. You know, so, I mean, it's just a long process. We try and do the best we can. Like Richard said, we only have one crew, you know, and we try and cover as many roads as we can. But like I said, I will start jumping around. Hopefully that will help keep the phone calls down and, you know, go from there.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Steve. Robert Uzilia. Is Robert here tonight?
Fairly slow month, but we got some things done. We assisted in clearing items from St. Edmund's Chapel to begin the process of its cleaning and restoration and for eventual use. Also, there are three pieces of equipment left that Steve's crews are going to help me move out of there tomorrow morning that are left from the diner inventory. And we have several sold, and hopefully we'll be able to sell the others shortly. I answered inquiries on local history, including one concerning a tombstone bearing the name of Margaret Wolven, who died in 1851, which was discovered on a local property. So I'll be checking into that name to determine if that is indeed someone who belongs in a town of Caro Cemetery. But from what I've found so far, it appears it might be Catskill or Tiscadon. Let's see, continued work on a historic walking tour. We looked at examples of brochures and kiosk styles, and also we're going to schedule a kind of a practice tour in the near future to kind of get a feel for, you know, how long the average tour should take, and, you know, taking into account people's age and other factors. With the process of separating the salvageable materials from the Caro Diner is nearing an end, final cleanup of the site will be completed soon. Pending board approval, the trailer will be moved to its temporary work site. Now, I've got photographs of the two potential sites in the park with me, and I'll give you those afterwards, and also copies of it's a real rough map of the park, but it shows the two potential locations that we feel would work the best. And I'll let you use them at the next workshop, and I'll be at that next workshop as well. And maintain the town's scrapbook, respectfully submitted. If anybody has any questions afterwards, feel free to ask. Oh, and I just want to mention there is a historical association meeting next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Right across the road at Gallagher's. Thanks.
Thank you. Chris?
Past month, the start of summer, we had a somewhat busy month. For the month of June and half of July, we handled 137 complaints. Of that, 78 were criminal, 52 non-criminal, 7 unclassifieds. We handled 13 dog or animal complaints. We opened up 3 new code violations with the code enforcement office. We have one that's still pending. We closed 3 in court this week that were rectified. We investigated 9 accidents, issued 6 parking summonses, made 23 arrests with 34 charges. Issued 79 traffic citations, and I'm pleased to announce that over the past year and a half, we've applied for a TRAX grant, which streamlines our reports, ACSA reports, our reports that we do, incident reports for the department, traffic tickets, and all the work that's associated with a complaint that may need the arrest of some person, or depositions, voluntary statements. Over the past year and a half, we've been working very hard with DCJS to be awarded a grant for these computer systems that are in the cars. That's state-of-the-art. It allows the officers to do their job in the car without having to go back to the station to take time out of their shift to transport people to the station to take statements, to make to the necessary arresting procedures. I'm pleased to announce that this past week, we were awarded that grant, and the computer systems have been installed in our police cars. It's going to make our job a lot more easier. We totally outfitted two complete units with computers. With the assistance of the Sheriff's Department and Town Board, I was allotted money to equip the other two vehicles with the hardware so that these computers can be taken out of one car and used in another, which will allow us to utilize every car so we don't put the mileage up on two certain vehicles. My patrol vehicles are assigned to different officers in the department so that I get more of a rotation, so the cars will last a lot longer. The mileage won't rack up as quick on one as it does the other. But I am pleased to announce that those vehicles and equipment has been installed. And within probably the next month or so, DCJS is going to come down and train my personnel and the necessary software that will be added to the system so that we can do our work in the field. And when we come back, we just download that stuff into our mainframe computer. And the necessary tickets and accident reports and all that stuff will be generated into a file. So when we get back to the station, all we have to do is print it out. Now, in the field, there is a portable printer that was also associated with these printers or these computer systems, so that when we're out in the field, when we do our necessary paperwork, the people can sign it right there. So, you know, it saves a lot of time. And I'm pleased to announce that out of all the departments in Greene County, the Sheriff's Department, ourselves, Coxsackie Police, Athens PD, and Wyndham, I believe, put in for this unit. We were the first department in the county to get this other than the state police. So it's a big accomplishment for a small department like ours.
Very good. Good job. Thank you. Okay. Anything on animal control? Chris?
Just, you know, that we do have one dog that's available for adoption at one time.
Just one?
It's a feeble mix. He's a nice dog. He's kind of tall for a feeble, but he's a nice dog.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Okay. Parks, Recreation, Buildings, and Grounds. Rich, you want to start?
Yeah, the park crew's busy trying to keep the park up, and we're still waiting on baskets. I see you got some literature.
Oh, I sure do.
The kids have been hollering, so have the adults, for baskets. And last week we interviewed for the maintenance person, Supervisor Coyne and Councilman Suttmeyer and myself. We narrowed it down to one person, which we'll be talking about later on in the meeting. And in line with that, when we do bring that up, I think we should write a job description for that particular individual.
Okay. Yeah. We do. There is one from the county.
Yeah, it's sort of generic.
It's very generic, but we can
modify that.
Okay. All right. No problem. All right. Yes.
I'd like to mention, last week I went back into the reservoir property here to see what was going on back there. And I show you these photos. The gate, first of all, is wide open, so there's free access. And I thought originally we talked about issuing permits for its use, which I guess never materialized. But you can see on the bridge, the one railing has been pushed over. And that took quite a bit of effort, because that was a well-built bridge. It's a nice little bridge.
Those are 4x4s that broke?
And they must have gotten on one railing and pushed with their feet to knock that railing over.
Mm-hmm.
They also threw a picnic table in the reservoir, and there was also spray paint on the pump building, which I didn't get a picture of. But I think that railing should be fixed. Do we ever determine who's responsible for the maintenance of that park?
It is the Nature Center Group.
They were supposed to maintain it, if I remember correctly.
They were, and we'll have to. I'll make a note to get in touch with Neil or Mike Essley.
Because there were bolts, you know, there was force. I mean, that didn't fall over by itself.
4x4s.
Yeah.
I say there's a picnic table in the reservoir. And, I hope they're not swimming in there. If they are, they're snapping turtles.
That's the little pump house that's out off of the walkway. You still are issuing
Absolutely.
Permits? Excuse me. Okay. All right. Well, the permits are still getting issued.
But how do you enforce it? The gate's wide open. You'd have to have a 24-hour guard.
Right. Well, I think what they're ultimately what they were trying to do is just have a a nice place for people to go. And,
right.
And
it was supposed to be Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts,
right.
Groups, families, whatever, right. Which is fine. I have no problem with that. But obviously, you know, it's open. It's free access.
Mm-hmm.
The gate isn't even closed.
All right. I think that should be fixed. Can I hold on to this?
Sure, sure.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because that's becomes a hazard then. So, and that's not good. Rich mentioned the basketball hoops that are in desperate need of repair, and we go anywhere from $519 all the way up to $2,900. I guess Carrie spoke to, I don't know who was it, one of the officers, Mike Gabriel or Chris, and the pole is actually bent now?
Well, a couple years ago, one of the, you know, from the kids playing or hanging on it, one of the backboards, the bracket that comes off the upright was actually broke off, and we had to have it welded back on.
Right, okay.
Yeah, the one was reinforced with a gusset and welded on, but the other one's not. And,
yeah, right.
And that basket of stairs got about a 20-degree list to it.
I don't know if you're. I don't. Are you just intending on replacing the big court one?
Yes,
the big court. I think we
over by the tennis court for now.
I think the poles will have to be replaced too.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, I feel that if we go with one for $519, we're going to be back here next year replacing it again.
What's the middle range? Is it still for $500?
No, it's there's one here for $1,300.
Does that include the pole?
One for $1,300 includes backboard, pole, aluminum backboard trim, height adjustment system.
Is that supposed to be a heavy-duty commercial?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for here right now. Turn your driveway into a Siri. Nope.
No.
That'll be broken.
Now what we want.
And not that, you know, it just takes a lot of use. You know, a lot of people use these.
$1,300 going through your driveway, what's the $500 going to basement?
That's just the backboard and the rim. That
okay.
does not include
that's
the pole.
That's not the whole zone.
Right, that's, yeah.
So this one here, is the expensive one?
Yep.
I've seen this almost identical. I was in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Identical one. It's got a piston on it, so this piston's supposed to absorb when they hang on it.
Okay.
The piston was bent. The shaft of the piston was bent right in half. And this is the expensive. I think we got to call New York City and find out what they got.
Yeah. $5,000.
Yeah. But there's one. There's the $2,800 one.
And I'm telling you, it was the exact same basket. It was wrecked. It was in the campsite where I was at.
I almost think the system that we have now, the pole itself, I think if we could find something to replace that has held up pretty good over the years. It's just that we've had to replace the backboard and the rim. So
I wonder if Carrie could go to the OGS and see what they use for their state parks.
Could you do that?
Okay. All right.
Hey, what are they using in prisons?
Prisons or state parks? Or, yeah. All right. Can you do that? All right, we'll do that. And then we wouldn't have to go out for bid for that either because it's on the OGS website. So,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, good. All right. Also on Parks and Rec, National Bank of Coxsackie has given the a group of volunteers who are working on the St. Edmund's Chapel a check in the amount of $500. And I'll read a letter from the group. Supervisor Coyne, enclosed kindly is a check from the National Bank of Coxsackie as previously indicated for the St. Edmunds project. I would request that these funds be designated for the St. Edmunds renovation preservation. Furthermore, the committee would like to request a copy of the town's bid guidelines. Once available, you can either call me or I'll pick them up. But the National Bank of Coxsackie has donated $500 to that project up at St. Edmunds, which I think is very nice. So that should be able to get them up and running, hopefully with some paint and things like that to get that taken care of. So you'll get that. Okay. Kathy, water and sewer?
Oh, wait, before we leave parks.
What do you got?
The wood chips, I've had complaints that there are no wood chips there yet. We were supposed to be getting them.
Wood chips are, let me find my notes. Are going to be $32 a yard and a $50 trucking fee, and we would be receiving 18 yards. Comes up to about $575. They can deliver it by Friday. What I was thinking, if we have it dumped over by the building and then they can bring it over in the bucket and spread it evenly, instead of having a big 18 yards of material laying there, it'll just become a big play pile for them and it'll be all over the place. Okay, so yep, and they were very it's used in many different playgrounds. I asked them because I didn't want any, you know, I said, where is it used? And she told me other municipalities use it. So
one more thing, you know, last year you mentioned hiring a professional landscaper to take care of the town hall. Well, the grass, it looks great, but today I looked at it, and it's really in disarray, the shrubs. And I was wondering, are we going to ask the new maintenance person to do that, or are we going to, should we contract it out? The town hall, it's a disgrace, actually, when you walk in front of the building.
See how good a trimmer
it is. Well, I don't know.
If we have any people that have a green thumb would like to help out, please give us a call. We could start with that. Everybody has volunteered before. I'm not putting anybody on the spot right now, but I'm looking around. I know some people have some pretty nice gardens, so if maybe if we can get a couple people together to help us out, we'll get the material. I'm sure we'll have some left over from the playground, and we can put some of that mulch around. But if not, I know it's busy summertime. People have a lot of things going on. We could probably get the maintenance guy.
Or that, or have somebody come in.
Or somebody come in and take care of it.
Like Nagel.
Yeah. Price room. So, okay. And I think that's it for Parks and Rec. Okay, Kathy, water and sewer?
Okay. Under water, I'd like to say that the July water billing has been sent out and payments are being received. Also, I'm requesting help from the highway department. Hopefully, we can free up a couple men to replace the hydrant at the corner of Phelps Drive and Jerome Avenue. Hopefully, that can be done soon. The testing for the youth fair will be done, I believe, by the Board of Health next Monday or Tuesday, and all the other paperwork has been completed. And I would also like to, I don't know the legalities, but Tony Puro had given the water district the water truck, and it's not been used in quite a while, so I would like to see if that could be returned to Tony with a note of thanks. I don't know the legalities. Are we allowed to do that or what have you?
This was mentioned, I think Carrie mentioned it to me, or Tony called. I spoke to Tal about it. And Tal, correct me if I'm wrong, technically now it's town property. It's been insured. We would have to go through the same process to, we just can't give it back.
Unfortunately, when the controller's office would come down to do their audit every couple, 3 years, if we didn't go through the process of declaring it surplus, putting it out to bid, and getting fair market value, we'd get in trouble.
We would get in trouble.
Even though it was donated to the town?
Yeah. It's now town property, unfortunately.
Okay.
I agree with you. He was nice enough to give it to us. We're not using it. Yes, it, you know, it would be nice just to give it back to him, but I spoke to Tal, you know.
Okay. All right. Under sewer, we've received a FOIL request from Judy Kavanaugh. That information has been forwarded, all the information that I had forwarded, to the town clerk's office. We pumped 4 septic tanks during the month of June. One pump burned out at JCCC, and that was replaced on June 29th. And also their septic was pumped, one of the 4. And also there was a problem at a septic tank on O'Neill's Cafe that was pumped. Both of these pumps, the tank showed a tremendous amount, not a tremendous, but a mostly evidence of grease. So they really have to pay more attention, property owners, to the grease traps. With Joe, I'm going to be making at random checks on these, so
Okay.
No advance notice will be given.
Okay.
And on these expenses that we've had, I'm really concerned about the expenses for the sewer district because I believe that the EDU charges will not be enough to take care of our payment that is coming due in August. So there was a shortfall of funds anticipated. It's unfortunate that Joe isn't here tonight, but he's at Camp Trimount with the Cub Scouts. But I see Mike is here, so he could bring us up to date on the sewer treatment plan.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Mike?
The work we're doing at the wastewater treatment plant is approaching completion. We intend to begin the startup of that new filter on Monday through Wednesday of this coming week. Don Holcomb, who was the operator of that unit over at Windham Mountain, is going to be coming down to help Joe and myself and the electrician and one of the control guys get that up and running. We are a little bit behind the startup date for that, as specified in the order from the DEC. I believe that was something like the middle of June. However, we
June 30th.
However, we have spoken with DEC staff, and they say that there's not going to be any enforcement action for that. They're just happy that that we're in the home stretch here. With regards to the collection system, we've got a contract that we're going to be putting out to bid to repair the deficiencies in the sewer mains that were located during the TV inspection that was done this past May. We intend to have the bid opening for that at the next workshop on August 6th.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Mike? No? Okay. Very good. Thanks, Mike. Okay. Dan Benoit is out of town tonight, so he will not be giving a planning board presentation. But I do have, and guys, we'll get you up now, is Carl Kors and Rich Baer from the Green County Youth Fair who are here, and they would like to speak to the board and to the community. Come on up, guys.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Corin and board members. We have a letter here inviting each and every one of you to participate in the opening ceremonies. And the Best in Show Awards, we'd like you to participate. That's good for election year politics because it's the next best thing to baby kissing. So it's always good, you know, to participate in any youth activities in that regard. We also have a schedule. Is that okay?
That's fine. Keep going. You're okay. Doing good.
This year we have the log rollers are coming back. The loggers are balance act. And Abracadabra is a magic and entertainment show. They will be back again this year. We compete with a major fair in Chicago for Abracadabra. So we get as long as we get him on the list a year or two ahead, we can usually get him back. Other usual events that are going on, Rich had mentioned that the car show, Wheels of Time, they're going to be coming in on
Friday night instead of what the program says
Friday
Saturday.
Night, yeah, our
you know, be also Green schedules. County Cruisers. There's two car clubs in the county, and they both wanted to be part of. So there'll be two car clubs that show up. They hope to have about 20 cars to show off down at the youth fair for people to come and see. And that'll be on Friday night from 5 to 9 during our chicken barbecue.
Chicken barbecue, an annual event, and that will be going on Friday night. This year, the fair board is going to be running the chicken barbecue, where in the past we've had youth groups running it. We would like youth groups to voice their requests so that, you know, we can have a youth group run it every year. The fair board itself has enough other things to do. We don't need to be running a barbecue too. But we did want to kind of set some guidelines, and we thought we'd run it this year, and next year we're looking for a youth group to run it. And basically we ask that you have a particular project and that it is youth-oriented, and that's our primary goal because it is a youth fair. That's what it's about. We'll have our horse show. We'll have our antique tractor pull. And of course, we'll have cows and chickens and pigs. And might not have any pigs this year. We're working on that, but that may not happen. But there'll be enough other animals there. Golf carts, of course, we'll have them around. And some of them will be running wild. We'll get into that later. What else? I need to talk to Mike Warner. He's not here tonight?
No.
Okay, he does have a schedule for baseball, and so sometimes we get a crowded field on Saturday night, but that's okay. That's never been a problem. So if there's any questions, comments?
Dates.
That's next week.
The 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th of July, 2009.
I'll be down on the grounds on Sunday morning with my orange spray paint. And Mike West and his boys will be in on Monday setting up tents. And I have it on official word, there will be no rain next week.
So it's amazing. It's amazing.
See you. Of course, I've also said that every year. So we're looking for a good event, a lot of people, and we hope to have a good time. Chris?
Clean up the green building.
He needs to clean it out.
We do need to request that the building be cleaned up.
He's working on that tonight.
Yep.
Okay.
He's working on it as we speak.
He's getting people to get that stuff out.
Another thing, so everybody in the public knows, the roadway through the park will be closed. It has to be for our insurance to allow us to operate. We close it every year at just as you go into the park on this side and at the other side by the pavilion end. That roadway through will be closed. There's people walking through and everything else. So hopefully, you know that before you get there, you'll either go to the other side of the park and go in and come and enjoy the event. Fireworks will be on still. We're having our fireworks this year, and that'll be on Saturday night. And that'll be happening about 9:15 on Saturday. So with the chicken barbecue on Friday and the fireworks on Saturday, hopefully we get good crowds. We like it if everybody would come and attend the opening ceremonies at 9. I believe it's 9:30 on Thursday morning. And come see some of what the kids do. There's shows of all types going on. We're proud of their accomplishments. Hopefully, you can come and support them, for those kids. I don't think there's too much more other than...
The building.
We need to have that.
The state police are going to be maybe operating a child seat safety inspection. So they'll be on hand with Greene County Sheriffs. And Greene County Firemen's Association will be handling the fire safety and running their fire safety tent. They'll be doing demonstrations as well. So it should be a good deal. Thank you.
And we'd just like to thank any departments that help us. You know, Steve's going to come down and do some help on Saturday, and he'll help us get the weights unloaded on Monday. And I'm sure that the rescue squad will be going through, or they'll be walking through and helping anytime that they have a chance. Okay. And we want to thank them. There's some brochures left up here of what we've got, what we have going on. We'll leave them up here. The only thing you'll find onto it is the car show. It says in here it's on Saturday. It's supposed to be on Friday. So come and enjoy.
All right.
And we thank all the community for letting us have it here.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we'll move on to new and old business, the Welcome to Caro sign.
Alice had brought up at last month's meeting about there was a second sign and that we had paid a down payment for it. Whatever happened to it, and I was wondering if anyone was able to figure that. I was hoping Alice would be able, but
she's not. All I know is the first sign that was paid for back in 2006.
You talked about it at the workshop.
Yeah, I know. but Janet wasn't
I
here.
I wasn't there. I'm sorry.
The signs are totally paid for. They were stopped.
One.
Well,
both.
Signs paid
okay.
For. They were stopped from putting it out on 32 and Fenwood 85 by the police. I thought somebody was going to check with the state if they could use that.
They not use it.
So
they won't let us use the right of way, the DOT right of way.
On a specific place or any state road?
He led me to believe any place on state property.
So if we could have found a private landowner who would let us put
that
it someplace, we could do it. So there is a sign and it exists and it's in good condition.
The sign exists.
Yep.
He would have it finished by August. This other projects have now jumped in. But he's waiting for the town board to tell him where you want it. He's going to go dig the holes, put the post in, put the sign in, and do all the work.
So maybe we should just figure out a few places or people we want to ask.
And it was also brought up at the Main Street Revitalization meeting, and we had some discussion on that too, and that was explained to Alice also. So maybe we just should reach out to Alice and see where she is with this stuff, where we can go with it.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Do you have an update on the fans at the Acre Community Center, or is that Alice too?
I'm not sure. I don't.
What's that?
I want to say we work together, but we don't. We work separately. I did some more research. Actually, somebody came in, apparently from the DOH today, to talk to me. I'm going to try to call him. I did talk to somebody from the DOH already. This is my understanding, that the hood itself needs to meet the requirements of Section 507 of the Building Code for commercial hoods and systems. Then we also have to meet the fire stuff, and then we have to send the whole thing over to DOH for their approval, even though they don't have jurisdiction over the building codes
and the
fire. Right. So, you know, my suggestion is that, first of all, we need, even the more detailed of the estimates that we got wasn't all that detailed in terms of, hey, there's no sketch, there's no dimensions with it, there's no, you know, anything like that. Either we put out a bid for a package and put in the bid what we want in terms of goal-wise, not in terms of specific equipment, and say, you know, design a system for us that will fit this, you know, application, have a bid meeting at the site, and then see what we get back.
Okay.
Or we go out and have somebody design it and then put it out to bid to the different companies. But, you know, make sure in the specifications it says it has to meet Section 507, it has to meet whatever the applicable fire codes are, it has to.
Do you know, have you or Alice, has anybody spoken to the county about this?
I think Alice was going to try to touch base with the county, but I don't know
where she was,
because I was away. That's why I said we're kind of working separately.
All right.
But I can certainly touch base with her, you know, and then contact the county if she didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
And one thing I did when I talked to the Department of Health, they said they are a little more lenient with these kind of facilities than with, you know, because when I went there, I was like, oh, my gosh, these counters are horrible.
Yeah.
You know, but they said they're a little more lenient.
Lenient with, okay. All right. Okay. New basketball rims for the Carroll Park. I think we covered that before. The wood chips for the playground. It's about, like I said, $560. We want to move forward with that. I think it's important that we do. So we'll pass that for a resolution below. The Alden Terrace escrow. Tal, do you have an update?
I think at this point we probably have to have a discussion in executive session concerning that.
Okay.
Because it would be potential litigation.
Okay. All right. Very good. Highway bridge work. I believe this was reference to Polly's Rock and Suttmeyer's Culvert. I received an email from Senator Gillibrand's office, and they are asking for proposals from municipalities for any work that might need to be done on highways, bridges, things like that. And right away, I thought of the Suttmeyer Bridge, the Poly Rock Bridge, and the sidewalk from the school down to Great American. I called their office. They said, submit all three proposals, and we'll see where it goes. What they're going to do is put this on back on the back side of a bill. This is what they told me. This is Washington.
I don't care if that's back or the front.
And maybe we'll get lucky. So I asked Steve. He's got the paperwork. I saw that in the office. Thank you for getting that. I have the information from the sidewalk proposal that was done several years ago. So we're going to get that in. As long as the board is in favor of that, it has to be in tomorrow by 6 o'clock through email. So do we have any problems with that?
No problem.
I think we should. We have nothing to lose. So, okay. The Shinglekill watershed study. A few months ago, some representatives from Cornell Cooperative Extension were in, and they kind of told us that they were going to be going in the Shinglekill and doing some research. They will be there Sunday, August 9th from 2 to 4, and the public is invited to attend. Spend a refreshing afternoon on the creek learning the basics of stream monitoring. Participants will investigate the physical, chemical, and biological aspects of the reach of the Shinglekill that runs through the town park. This program is fun and informative and will provide information on simple methods of determining water quality in any stream. So that's Sunday, August 9th from 2 to 4. So that will be available to the public if you're interested in attending right down there at the town park. Okay. Next, we have the USDA has funding available for a grant available for a sewer project. This money has been there, and according to Victor Cornelius, we are eligible to apply for that funding.
Now, is this a new grant?
No. According to him and Ron McGee, this is stuff that has been new, yes, force from the stimulus. It's new since the stimulus. It's part of the stimulus money that USDA got.
And the reason I ask is because I was on the USDA website looking for grants specifically for our sewer last week, and there was one for 2008, but the deadline for the applications was in May or June, because I remember saying, oh, we just missed that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quite, actually, I was hoping Victor would be here because I had questions like, what is the grant number, where is it in the Federal Register, so I could check that out.
Right. But when I spoke to Ron McGee today, first he said that any costs that we incur if we choose to go this route for grant work, things like that, is covered under our funding from EFC. Number two, he did say that there is USDA funding available for this, and it is looked upon highly by EFC that we are looking for other sources of funding for the project.
It won't be there forever either.
Will it be there forever? No.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think that we can, if we delay too long, we're going to miss this money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give Mr. McGee a call tomorrow and try to find out more information about it.
Yeah, that's fine. But he was glad to hear, you know, he told me, he says, you know, we look to see that that municipalities look for other types of funding.
I read the letter from Victor, and I had some major issues with it.
Okay.
It doesn't seem to be on for resolution, so we don't have to talk about it right now if you don't, but I'd be glad to share that with you.
Sure, good.
Okay. Well, first of all, I was wondering in Section 1 what a subsidized loan was. You know, it has grant and or subsidized loan, so I didn't know what a subsidized loan was. The other thing is he wants $7,500 upon signing this,
mm-hmm.
and that this contract would expire within 18 months or upon closing, whichever's first. So if we gave him the $7,500 and he did nothing in 18 months, we're out
$7,500.
In Section 1 sub A, he talks about advocacy services, and I would like him to define and explain more what those are.
Mm-hmm.
And in Section D, I wasn't quite sure what that section meant at all. It says, developing and writing detailed eligibility requirements for the USDA on behalf of the town regarding specific items such as stimulus funding strictures.
So first I thought, okay, he's writing something about the town to the USDA, but then I thought, no, it seems like he's writing something to the town about this. So I would like that explained, because I don't know what that is. Number five, or E, rather, on the next page is et cetera, so I would like to know what et cetera he's talking about. In terms of paying him, he has a little payment schedule of,
yep.
of the money on signing the contract, $7,500 upon completion of the pre-application, $7,500 when there's an offer by the USDA that the funding plan is fiscally more desirable. I'd like some, specifically for that, some kind of guidelines right now so we know what we're looking at. And then the rest, the closing. In the audit on page 20, it's talked specifically about how in the past we've spent money before we've gotten services.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that by paying him the money upon signing this contract, we're doing exactly what we were cited for in the audit.
Okay.
It says the board is responsible for determining whether each claim is properly authorized and accurate and represents a valid town expense for goods or services that were actually received.
Okay.
So obviously if we pay him something upon signing the contract, that's nothing. The total for this would be $30,000.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. Let me see. Then he talks about, besides his fees, he wants reimbursables, which is, you know, that's a common thing. I have no problems with that. But most contracts have a fee schedule or a schedule for the reimbursable, how much they're going to charge per page for photocopies, for pictures, for stuff like that. You explain now that this $30,000 can be included in the current application in front of the EFC?
Yes. According to Ron McGee.
Can it be added on, or it can just be taken out of?
What do you mean added on?
Can we add another $30,000 to the amount we've already asked for?
That I did not ask him. He just said it would be, this money can be used
as an expense
from the EFC.
Because I'm curious about that, too, because I'm assuming we asked for the amount we need, not...
But there's also money in there under the, if I remember correctly, under the administrative end of it, which some things can be done in-house here, which would be cheaper, and I'm talking about the EFC stuff, would be cheaper, done cheaper in-house than if we had Victor do it or another
contractor.
But
those, that's what I'm saying, those things are still going to need to be done, so this is an extra task.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That we're adding to.
But I think that when I spoke to Ron McGee today, he knew what we were trying to do, what we were trying to accomplish, and he felt very, like I said, felt good that we were trying to go this route.
I was on the website last week looking for
mm-hmm.
for other ways to fund it, so I obviously have no problem finding
right.
other ways
mm-hmm.
to fund it. And grants are always better than loans.
Absolutely.
Section number 9, I just don't understand why he wrote it that way, and I don't see why that couldn't be wrote in a more specific nature. It talks about...
It could have been written in a different way.
You know, why can't he just say Endeavor is a contractor
right.
for the town of Cairo?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, well, let's do this. This is the first time... a lot of us have seen it. I'll call Victor. Tal, would you be able to review this by Monday?
Sure.
Okay. We'll have a special meeting with Victor Monday. I don't think we have any more time to wait.
No, we can't be here. Unfortunately,
you won't be here Monday. And I'm not going to be here for the next 2 days.
You know, we procrastinate and we're going to lose this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's we'd be negligent in our duty to the taxpayers if we let this money just disappear. We sit here and we quibble over this. I understand this is the same contract that Greenville signed.
And I don't know if that's if that's what he said, then you know.
Well, okay. I have some issues that Greenville doesn't have. In 2008, under Victor's old contract, he received $6,000 in January, May, and August, and $2,000 in November. 2008, for the old contract, that's $20,000. Under our current contract, he received $10,000 in November 2008, $4,000 in January, April, and July, which totals $26,000. And there's $4,000 remaining in his current contract to complete the application and administer the loan, which we're not even near yet. So up till now, he has been paid $46,000. And basically, we have not seen any return on that money. So do I think we should be looking for other money? Absolutely. Do I think maybe we need to turn to other grant writers or at least find out what exactly he's talking about and Mr. McGee's talking about, which I'll be glad to do, and look into that specifically more? Maybe I missed it on the website, or there's less 3 days, new stuff has come out, that's possible. But I really feel that it's not doing a service to our taxpayers, Ray, to hire this man to do more stuff for us.
All right. Rich, do you have anything to say about this?
I'm kind of pressed for time.
I do, too. We're pressed for time. However,
I mean, if it gives a zero-interest loan, a million.
We need to...
million. You've got Greenville, 700 and some thousand.
Right. One thing I would like to do is just at least have give Tal the opportunity to look this over.
Yeah, I agree with
we
that.
Have to do that.
Yeah, right.
Bare minimum. And Janet has questions for Victor. Ray, I know you... All right, we'll do this. Tal, you can review it, have it reviewed
sure.
Monday.
Yeah.
Give us some input on it. Ray, how long are you going to be? You're going to be gone all next week?
Saturday to Saturday.
Okay.
So are you going to be here during the week, or are you coming and going?
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be here during the week, yes.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
On our procurement policy, page 3, number 8 says professional services, that we should have requests for proposals for professional services. It lists financial fiscal consultants, which he would be. And why are we not looking for another grant writer who's familiar with these things also? Maybe we can get it for less than $30,000.
You're absolutely right. And we're going to let Tal look at this. And then we as a board will ask, Victor has some questions. We're not signing it, but we can go out and look for other people if we have to. But we also have to remember that USDA is ready to, and not that I want to be pushed up against the wall and sign something just because USDA is ready to give money, but time is of the essence. And this was just brought to my attention.
Right.
Just to
and speak. But I always feel that way with Victor, that it's always, oh my gosh, it's a hurry. We have to do it right now, and we do our part, and then Victor doesn't do his part.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes you do have to sit back and say, let's get on the phone, let's make some phone calls, let's, you know, get back on the website, see what we can do. And
let's do this. Monday. Who's available? Rich, are you available Monday?
I'm available.
All right. Janet, Monday?
I'm probably later in the day. I'm not sure about earlier. I'm
going to
bring my daytime
up.
Sorry.
I mean, the fact that Ron McGee is in favor of it, I think it should carry some weight.
We have nothing against the USDA grant. That's not the issue. Right.
But we need someone to go out and get it for us.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's find somebody to go there.
And by the time we find somebody, we fiddle around, the money will be gone.
Do we have the EFC loan money yet, Ray?
In speaking with Rob,
it's coming. I know.
It's coming.
I've heard that for 2 years. It's here.
Well, I don't know if you want to go talking like that to Ron McGee, who is in charge of our package.
He's not the one who's told me it's been here for 2 years. He's been very honest with me.
Yep, and he was very honest with me today when I was speaking to him. So.
Good, so I hope.
All right, Monday, 9:30, there'll be a meeting here with the board and Victor Cornelius to discuss...
I'm not sure I can be here anymore. I can be here as in the afternoon.
Well, I'll speak to Victor. It's gonna be in the morning on Monday. It has to be, because there's other things that are going on that I have to take care of here for town. So, do you have court? Can you make arrangements to postpone that?
Generally not. I can look into that.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just asking. I don't know what kind of,
generally not. I can look into that, but if you can make it the afternoon, that would be better.
You won't be here. You won't be here Friday.
No.
John, can I say something? Why do we always get this from Victor that time is of an essence? And when did this surface?
I don't know, Kathy. I don't know when it came. So that's why we have to find out.
Everything from Victor seems to be, and I understand. It's the time you got to do it. Right. And
that's why we're going to speak with Victor on Monday, and we'll have Ron McGee. Everybody can call Ron McGee in the next 2 days in USDA and get all their answers, the questions that they have answered, and we'll be able to hopefully make some kind of decision Monday, whether it's, you know, we move on or whatever. In the meantime, if somebody has a contact with another grant writer, that's our procurement policy. Let's bring them forward and see what it's all about. Okay? So, Janet, get back to me on if you can. And then we'll try to do it as early Monday as possible.
Okay?
All right. The grant application, on looking at the website and speaking with Cornell Cooperative Extension and Mary Kames. Is Mary here? Mary's here, yes. We talked about a farmer's market. It wasn't enough time to get it going this year, but we were thinking about possibly doing it next year. There is a grant out there for startup money for a farmer's market.
Sorry. Sorry, Joe.
It's all right. Okay. And now, does the board want to, would they be interested in doing something as a farmer's market down at the park next year? If so, then we can go ahead. Talking with Cooperative Extension, there seems to be interest from local growers who would be interested in coming down and having a market in our park. Different day. Yeah, it wouldn't interfere with the Chamber's market days at all, because I know they do have a produce vendor there. Yes. And it wouldn't interfere with Catskill's market days or New Baltimore's market days. It would just be Caro market days. Yeah, it would, and that's what I thought. If we could bring some more people to town, and it would help our local growers, whether it's vegetables, plants, things like that, they have a chance to sell their goods. So with that said, do we have a problem with going ahead with that application? I think it's $2,500. It's startup stuff. And the next on the agenda, we spoke about the high priority request from Senator Gillibrand's office regarding the Suttmeyer's Bridge, Poly Rock Bridge, and the sidewalks from the school down to Great American. Okay.
Sounds like a lot of stuff might be done.
Yeah. So, all right. Now, moving on. Resolutions.
I got one other thing in old business.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Tag days. Back, the board passed a resolution about tag days that were out of control. They seemed to be doing the same thing. They had to get approval, and we were limiting them to each end of the town, and we said it was too dangerous, and the police concurred it was too dangerous to have one by the mobile station there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I noticed this 4th of July, there was the fire company was all over, and you couldn't move. And the other thing was that children collecting money had to be supervised by an adult, and it had to be proper barricades, whether it be cones or.
Mm-hmm.
And don't seem to be happening.
Okay.
I don't want somebody to get hurt. I understand all these organizations have to collect money and do what they have to do.
But it needs to be done safely.
It has to be done safely.
Do people come and apply or ask if they can do that?
Usually football comes and will ask. The fire department hasn't, but I spoke to them and asked them this year. I said, please just come and let us know that you're going to be out here.
Yeah, that way, coordinate the effort too. Like, you know, Little League might be out there the same day as football. You can't have
right.
that.
Right, exactly. All
I
right.
mean, maybe we can just have a direction sheet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you can only be here and here, and both need to be supervised.
Well, it was agreed that, you know, we're in Miller area and, you know, 32 on this end, barbershop. That was
by the barbershop.
Yeah, that
okay.
was.
Mm-hmm.
That was the agreed upon areas, and you know, there was a couple of close calls at the mobile, so we said that's too dangerous.
Okay.
And the police agreed.
All right. So we want to designate.
Well, you said we banned that. We told them we didn't want any tag days a couple of years ago.
Well, and we eliminated it. We eliminated that one particular
that's just
spot.
Around here.
Yeah.
All right. And no tag day at Getty. Okay. All right. Just when they call, then we'll just tell them where they can set up and where they can't set up.
If they call.
So, okay. Any other new and old business from the board members? No? Okay. All right. We need...
Resolution for wood chips.
Resolution for the wood chips for the playground. Do I have a...
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay, next we need a resolution authorizing a letter to be sent to the town of Greenville advising them that we are no longer, in 45 days, no longer going to perform mutual aid.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next we need a resolution for items to go out to bid in the paper from the highway department. And they will be done in-house here, sealed bids, and we'll list the day when we're going to open them.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Receipt of monthly supervisor's report. That is here. Excuse me, Tara. Mm-hmm. Just going to pass that down. Right. Rich, Alice, myself, you got one?
Thank you.
Okay.
Is this Alice's?
No, that's yours.
Okay.
And I have one here for Alice.
Move to accept the supervisor's report.
Yeah. Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Next, we have accepting the water bills dated July 15, 2009.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Next, we have a resolution to allow the assessor to attend the conference in Saratoga, which we had paperwork on and Janice spoke about. I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's Saratoga Springs.
Yes.
And can you also incorporate in that? Because according to the new travel policy on page 2, you have to have a resolution for the travel part of it too.
Okay.
Okay, so if you could just specify.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right, no problem. The resolution will read that it's authorizing the assessor to attend the conference in Saratoga Springs while also following the travel policy implemented by the town of Carroll. Do I have a motion to? I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next, we have a resolution to appoint new personnel for the ambulance. Walter Schilling and Robert Haller as EMTs to be paid per diem and at the hourly rate of $11.50 per hour.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Next, we have the appointing of the maintenance person, Paul McNiven, at the rate of $12.50 an hour for no more than 24 hours per week. I'd like to make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
Mike, there were no change work orders this time around, correct?
There were not.
right, so that will be deleted from the agenda. There were no change work orders on there. And the last resolution we have is for redacting information on FOIL requests.
That was tabled last month for me to take a look at it and research how we can better establish guidelines for whether to redact or not redact in a case-by-case analysis. I haven't finished that yet, so if we could roll that one more month, then.
Okay. All right, very good.
And again, I mean, I know you're going to research, but when I talked to the Memorial Government, they said they like consistent policy, not a case-by-case basis, because that leads to questionable why you did it for one and not the other. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, we'd like to open the floor for public comment. Yes, Tom, go ahead. Just please state your name, please.
I think you just said my name is Tom Rowe. I have two things to say tonight. One, I'd like to, just wonder about Mr. Lorenz's comments last month about how Mr. Slater is the boogeyman for all wrong in this town of Cairo, and I think you guys disproved that tonight by saying that stimulus money is actually perhaps coming to Cairo, and Mr. Slater did not stop it. So I'd just like to make it clear that perhaps you guys have been listening to Mr. Mathis tell you for years and years that some of you have been on the board for like the whole time that the sewers haven't been fixed, and that perhaps you should fix the sewers. You should step up and say, I've been on this board a long time, and I haven't fixed the sewers. You should say that we need zoning in this town, and Mr. Mathis has told you you need zoning if business is going to come to this town. And you need to get the planning board to treat everyone the same exact way instead of treating, like Mr. Mossman, 5 minutes and everything is waived and his project is approved. And newcomers come into Main Street and want to open up an arts project, and they're given an extremely hard time. And then secondly, I'd like to ask Mr. Coyne, mm-hmm. Last month, you seemed to make it town policy that you any board member would have to recuse themselves if their spouse spoke out publicly about the issue at hand. And that seemed to be a policy that didn't apply to the town supervisor. It only applied to other town board members.
No, I think the reason I mentioned that was because there was some work done, professional service.
I believe Ms. Schwarzenegger said there was no payment. So it was a spouse speaking at a public hearing.
Right, but it was my impression that there was... Mr. Schwarzenegger, being a professional engineer, went to that location and gave his opinion.
He did not go to that location because it was my location, and he's not allowed on my property.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get into it, but Mr. Schwarzenegger is...
I'm asking you to get into it.
At this time, I'm not going to answer your questions at this time. Any
why
other
not?
Questions?
Why won't you answer my
excuse
question?
Excuse me, because this is not in a place for a long...
Is it the policy or not that board members, if their spouse speaks publicly about something, that they have to recuse themselves? Yes or no?
Any other questions? Any other questions? Robert?
This is actually a question for Tal, and the answer might make my whole idea mute, but when does the seeker process begin in general? I'm not going to get into a specific case, but when...
As early as possible.
Right, so when somebody comes... that process begins as soon as they put their original sketch out for what they want to do?
If there is some governmental action or motion for spending that has to take place in conjunction with that project, it should be as soon as possible, as early as possible in the project.
Right, the reason I bring it up is my office, if you will, was never notified in regards to a specific project about whether there were any whether there was any historic significance to the property or any past possibility of there being any significance to it at all. And I've received letters in the past from engineers on much less significant projects, but. All right, that's just something I needed to know. So you guys probably can't comment on that because of the pending litigation, but it's just something I needed to know. Thank you.
Tal? as the person who's with the planning board, the attorney with the planning board, do the applicants generally contact our town historian when they contact involved agencies, or should they? Notice to do that?
Typically, when we go through the short form, if there is some indication that there may be that issue, then yes, we do require it. If there is no indication that there may be an impact, then no, it's not done.
But I mean, because if, wait, Tara, you got to keep your head still. Either way. But I know they contact the state, right? They contact the two agencies up in the state.
If we get into the long form situation where you're doing a long form EAF, then that gets done.
And then do they contact the town also? That's what I'm saying. Should we put them on the list?
Yeah, they should be on the list.
Okay, to be contacted.
Sure.
And a regulation.
Yep.
Steve?
On the equipment for the highway garage bid, does that also include the stuff from the Acre Cruiser?
Yeah, we might as well put it all as one group, and this way it's finished. Anybody agree, disagree? From St. Edmunds?
Well, there's stuff there that we got to keep, like the old Christmas decoration.
Yeah, definitely. We're talking, it was the surplus desks,
the old
file cabinets.
All the Christmas decorations. Even the old ones, I like to see them up some years.
Right.
So
all the surplus stuff.
All right. At this time, we'll just do the desks and the file cabinets. Ewald, please.
I guess approximately 2 months ago, the town did a video taping of the sewer lines.
Yes.
Inspections, and I was just wondering. And I think they also got a report from the engineers. I was just wondering if the town can update us on what they found, because I don't think anybody knows what's going on. I heard there were Fernco couplings that were there that they found that really shouldn't be there. And also, if they can update us on other INI issues that they found and what the process is. I know you're bidding it out. Another thing is you advised that you would possibly view the videotapes in front of the board, in front of the public at one time. Mm-hmm. Is that still going to be done?
It can be done.
All right.
We could set up a special meeting and we could have that. Mike, how could that be to view that, the work done by the camera? First of all, how much time were they actually taking? Do you know roughly?
At a guess, I would say there was probably about, this is just based on how long it took them to do it. I would say there was probably about 3 hours of footage.
Okay. You were talking about areas that you can see, the hot spots, right. That was the work.
We could do.
That is, yes. Yep, we know where on the tape or put the copy on.
I can
figure out exactly where, and then fast forward and throw and show each particular. All right.
You would be available at the next board meeting, maybe an hour ahead of time. This way, if the public chooses to view it, they could come an hour ahead of time. We could have it set up.
Yeah. Okay. Workshop.
Yep. And maybe we could have it set up. Set up and ready to go at 6 o'clock, say, and if anybody chooses to come and watch it, well, they have that opportunity.
And another suggestion I have is, I mean, I know you're working on your town website. Maybe you ought to put a page in there about the sewer district and mm-hmm. photographs as to, you know, what the status is.
Okay.
What the status progress is of construction of the plant, progress of the repairs of the sewers. You can even put snippets of the DVD on there as well. is there any way you can maybe give a few?
We can, yeah.
Okay.
We can do that. All right. Very good. Okay. Thank you. All right, so the next meeting then, we'll have some of those, that video available. Rich?
Is there any partition down on the wall petition, or do you want to discuss that differently?
I need to discuss that further with Tal as far as the, and actually with Tal.
Okay.
So, yes, there will be something coming up with that.
Yeah, Ellsworth Slater. I just could tell you said we potentially have to sue Alden Terrace for that money. Didn't our town law that we should have that money up front in escrow before we did anything?
Yes. There was an initial deposit made and has been used.
Right, but before we use more, we should, as far as I read the planning board law, we should have that money.
So why we're suing them, I don't quite understand. Someplace we dropped the ball.
Sorry, say again?
Someplace we dropped the ball because we didn't get the money up front?
Well, at the time that the project was ongoing, there was a lot of work that was happening week to week, month to month, and it fell into a deficit situation.
Fire whatever you think it's going to take. It's not like you got to wait and be surprised later.
It's going to be replenished.
That's what we learn for next time around.
Get enough up front. Keep it ahead.
I know that Mr. Maggio did give the town money, but I believe the money he gave us was for the sewer study and the water study. I don't believe he gave us any money in escrow. I think that money was given like the summer before, and it was, you know, and I'm sorry I don't have the resolutions in front of me right now, but it was specifically for the sewer study and the water study, not for the escrow for the project.
My recollection was that I think it was April of last year, the escrow's account was established and it was funded by that initial check.
By other people check in April?
Somewhere in that, whether it was March, April, May, somewhere
I don't
in
think
that area.
So. That's the way
I was led to believe, and that the money came in and it was to establish that escrow account. Now, if that didn't happen,
maybe we can get Gwen to give us a
check the money when they came in.
Didn't he give us money for the Main Street revitalization study?
And there was money.
He did that also.
Right, he did that also, but that wasn't the escrow. Yeah. We can't wipe that out.
Could I say something on this?
When the, we'll check. I see. I'm going to finish with Mr. Slater first, okay? Thank you.
Yeah, I just mean so we don't get in the same situation again, or else everybody will come here and try everything out on our expense.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I have one other comment. As far as Mr. Cornelius goes and Monday morning, wouldn't it really be smart of us to get on the phone like this week and try to line up someone else at least to compare his offer to by then?
Well, that's why I said Monday, and I asked if anybody else has anybody else who they think might be eligible or able to do this work. Let's try to get it going by Monday, see if we can get that done.
Okay, because I never said it before, but I checked out Mr. Cornelius, and legally his company was dissolved into a business in New York State in 1996. Just so you know.
And you check this out?
My lawyer checked it out.
Lawyer checked
it. The date may be on this book, but I believe it was 1996.
His corporation?
Is dissolved by New York State, yes.
Okay.
So highly recommend we look into getting someone to at least compare to that offer.
We'll also check to see if his corporation is up and running again.
And whatever happened to the IDA in Delaware of working on the stimulus money? Where does this fall in?
Since the last round, but nobody came through, no money came for us. I haven't heard back from IDA if they're going to continue it with the next round, if there isn't. Well,
so maybe that's
something that's still in the works, I'm sure, if they come up with another round, which it sounds like they are going to.
Okay, so maybe my list of phone calls. I'll try to call Sandy, or I'll email her.
Yep. Okay. Are there any other? Yes.
Delaware Engineering, right?
Excuse me?
Delaware Engineering, right?
I did ask this question when I speak to Alan Tavener. They did it for one town, and that was the town of Ashland. And it was a quite lengthy, involved grant process, so they really don't do that anymore. That's what I was told from Alan Tavener. But yes, they did do it at one time, but they don't do it anymore. Yes, Mary.
Hi, I'm Mary Zizekane. It's very important. John, this is public comment, and I think that if you're going to give the opportunity for people to comment, that you should either put a time limit on it, definitely receive responses from the public. The last board meeting, that didn't happen. I felt it was a real travesty.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I got a few things to address. The first is the road situation. Talk to you about it. Stephen knows.
Sir, could you just state your name again?
Richard Schaefer. Yeah. The road situation is just, I mean, I'm beyond words. I've called Stephen umpteen times since the spring of 2007, asking him to clear out the ditches that have been done on Warrenstein Road where I am. There's about a 350-foot section of road where the water pours down from the mountain behind the road, comes across the road, creates literally a river over Warrenstein Road, comes down on my property and washes out the driveway, washes through under the buildings, and you know, I got some, you know, pole barn and a garage and things. And every time this happens, of course, I have to at least repair the driveway, if not do repair to the buildings. I've called Stephen Rump, like I say, maybe 12, 15 times since the spring of 2007 to clear out the ditches. Never happened. All kinds of excuses, some of them we heard tonight. 183 feet of road, this and that. It's not my problem. This is a six-hour job, and I've talked to him about this, you know, over and over again. It's literally about a six-hour job to come and just clean out the ditch that's full. It's, you know, after 2 years, it's going to fill with leaves and whatever, you know, dirt. Just clear out the ditch. This way the water has somewhere to go. It's not running over the road. Not only is my property being damaged, but because of the river that it creates over the road, somebody's going to come barreling down that road like they do and not realize that they're going to hit this slew of water and just run off the road and crash. And then, and you know, then we got real problems, you know. So it's almost happened to me before, and I know better because I know what's there to not speed in that area, but when it rains so hard, it's there. You know, I mean, it's gotten to the point where I had to take time out of my schedule to come here tonight and talk about this because I just can't get anywhere with you, you know? Stephen, you work for me, you know? You're an elected official. I mean, like I told you on the phone, and I called you many times, I said, man, it's a six-hour deal, you know? In 2 years, or whatever it is, it's the spring of 2007, 6 hours is not that much of time to clean out the ditch, you know, just on that one section of road right there, you know, and try to avoid all this, you know. And, you know, me having to call you 10, 15, whatever it was time, shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be, you know. So I'm here now because the next time it happens, I'm not going to keep paying $300, $400, $500 to replace my driveway and prop up buildings and all this stuff. You know, I shouldn't have to do it. The ditch is there. It needs to be maintained by the town. And I expect that you come there, and I told him, I spoke to him June 1st. I said, I'll give you 2 more weeks, and then I got to do something about this, you know. And he said, fair enough. So here we are. It's in July. That was June 1st. And nothing's happened, you know. Nothing's happened. And now, I mean, I'm just dumbfounded that you're even talking about putting shoulders on roads like Ira Vale. So the one car that passes on Ira Vale Road a week can maybe pull over and change their tire if they get a flat. I don't know. I mean, why would you need shoulders on a side of a road like Ira Vale Road or any of these roads up here? I mean, first of all, there's not even enough land on the edge of the road to put a shoulder. There's ditch off half the road.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It becomes a liability issue, too, if we don't.
We already had one lawsuit on Maple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that
gets
stuck in
there. Let me say one more thing. Okay. My road, Warrenstein Road, they widened it. They put a nice double yellow line down it. The people go faster now than they ever did. And they posted 40 mile an hour speed limit signs, which were never there before. They drive faster on that road now because psychologically, they see a double yellow line, the road is wide, and they think, oh, you know, I could go, this is a highway, I could go fast here. Where before, when it was, you know, more of just a country road is what it is. It's not a main road by any means. You know, they weren't going so fast. And now they go even faster, so I don't even see where the mindset is to put a double yellow line, widen a road for, you know, 3 cars a day that come by or whatever. It just doesn't make sense. I think it's a waste of taxpayers' money besides. But at the least, I mean, the road's got to be ditched because, you know, look at the rain we've had, you know.
Steve, is there any chance?
As I told Mr. Schaefer, I did have a conversation with him.
Many.
Yes, okay. We have had 15. I don't know about 15. I could say off the top of my head, probably seven. I will, you know.
I'd say more.
I did go out.
We're not going to get into how many we actually had. Let's try to resolve this.
I did go out and look at the ditch.
Okay.
There is a spot on it that does need to be cleaned.
Okay.
And I told Mr. Schaefer when we Eisenhart Loop is a road that we're going to be going up and ditching along that little that piece off of Warrenstein is from Eisenhart Loop, and we would take care of that. He did ask me for a timeline. I can't give a timeline. I honestly, you know, if it's raining out, I can send the Bobcat out to go do ditches. If it's not raining, I have to go do, you know, potholes. I have to do go fix roads. I mean, you know, it's on the list. And I definitely this year have to get the Eisenhart Loop. It needs a lot of patching. And I explained that to him. But
you told me is that they were going to maybe pave Eisenhart Loop. And I said, well, so in other words, if they don't pave Eisenhart Loop, you're not
going to
come.
No, we still are going to get.
You told me you don't know when, and it's been two and a half years that I've been bothering you to clean the ditches, and we both know it's a half a day's work.
Right.
That's all it is.
Yours is not the only ditch. Like I said, we have 181 miles of road.
All right, we're not going to go back and forth.
I'll tell you what.
Just one second, Mr. Schaefer, all right? I understand you're upset. You've been patient. But we're still going to keep this under control.
I would be more than glad to take two board members out to take a look at it, and I will take your
own. How close is Mr. Schaefer's property to Eisenhart?
It's right on it.
Well, Eisenhart Loop should be close.
No.
It should be emergency. That should be fixed. That road, I can't believe the condition.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Oh, and apart from that, the feller above me, I think his name is, the last name is Bo Jenkins, he had an area paved that shouldn't be. Where the ditch was, after it was all said and done, he paid the guys money to bring whatever leftover blacktop that they had when they were, you know, patching connecting the driveways to the new paved road when you guys did the road a few years ago. They covered the ditch, they put a culvert pipe in the ground, and now he's got like a parking lot in front of his house, which makes everything worse, because now instead of the water going in the ditch ain't there. It's going right over the road. That's where that whole river is going right over the road. Eventually, it'll probably just erode the whole section of road, and the road will collapse. It's probably what will happen eventually. Because whenever there's a big rain, it happens. I mean, what now? You got to either tear out what he had these guys do, which is cover up the ditch so he could park his cars there, because the water ain't going in the ditch. Or at the least put grading in the ground or something so the water goes into the culvert pipe. So it's going over the road.
I would be more than glad to take board members. And that parking area you're talking about, there's a pipe underneath that.
I know, but no water goes into it because it's all paved. It's about 100-foot section of pavement there. No water can go into it.
I'll take the board members.
If anybody else is available Monday morning, first thing. Sounds good. I just got to be back by 9:30. Okay. Any other questions from the public? Any other questions? No. Okay. Do I have a second to go into executive session? All in favor? Aye. Discussions will be pending litigation and the flora and fauna contract.